So you think prenups are like ironclad? Like you sign it and that's it. End of story.
Well, not always.
Yeah.
Not always.
Okay, cool. Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
We are going to be looking at in region, the estate of grief today, a New York case, Court of Appeals decision that really changed how we think about prenups
Right.
and enforceability.
Yeah, especially when you think about relationships, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about contracts, you know, like a business deal. You gotta think about the people, the trust, maybe some like power dynamics between them, that sort of thing. It's important for law students especially, I think, because this case, it kind of messes with that traditional burden of proof when you're talking about contracts, you know, especially when it's within a relationship.
Right. And it's a relationship where, you know, maybe there's some vulnerability there.
Right, exactly.
So to set the stage, we've got Helen, she's 65, and we got Herman, he's 77.
Okay.
They're getting married. And right before the big day, they decide, okay, let's sign some prenups. And these prenups, they're reciprocal.
Yeah.
Like each person saying, I waive my rights to your estate.
Makes sense on the surface, yeah.
Yeah, so far so good. Two adults making a decision together. But hold on. 3 months after the wedding bells, Herman passes away.
Oh, wow.
And his will, well, it was written before the marriage, and it leaves everything to his kids from a previous relationship. Nothing for Helen.
Oh, tough situation.
So Helen, she's not just going to sit back, right? She goes for her statutory elective share.
Right.
Just a quick reminder for our listeners, what exactly is that?
It's a big deal in estate law. It's like a safety net for surviving spouses. Make sure they get at least a portion of the deceased spouse's estate, no matter what the will says. So even if the will leaves them nothing, they're not completely out of luck.
It's there to protect spouses. So Helen's going for this protection, but of course, Herman's children, they're pointing at the prenup. And, you know, that's where things get a little messy. So, first round in the surrogate's court, what happened?
The surrogate's court sided with Helen. They said, nope, those prenups are invalid. They thought Herman had used undue influence, basically pressured her into signing.
Okay, so round one to Helen, but that wasn't the end of it, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Herman's kids, they appealed. And then the appellate division, they reversed the decision.
Oh,
They
yeah.
said, hang on, Helen hasn't really shown us that Herman tricked her. You know, there's no smoking gun, no proof of actual fraud to just toss out a legally binding contract. So back then, those prenups, they were good to go.
Man, that's a huge swing.
Yeah.
But then here comes the Court of Appeals and they flip it again. Reverse the appellate division.
Yep.
This is where the law gets really interesting. What was the main question they were trying to answer?
The big question was this. When you've got two people engaged, you know, a relationship where you're supposed to trust each other, and they sign a prenup, does the usual way of challenging a contract still apply?
Okay, yeah.
Should Helen have to prove fraud? Or, because they were about to get married, should it be on Herman's children to show that everything was fair and there was no pressure involved?
That makes sense because it's a different kind of relationship. It's not like buying a car.
Exactly.
There's a lot more at stake. So,
Yeah.
what did the Court of Appeal decide?
They said, you know what, in certain situations, maybe even exceptional ones, the burden of proof can shift.
Okay.
They felt the appellate division hadn't really looked closely enough at Helen and Herman's relationship, you know, what it was actually like.
Right.
So they sent the case back to the surrogate's court and said, hey, take another look, but this time, use this new way of thinking about it.
So they didn't just throw out the prenup entirely,
Right.
but they changed the rules of the game a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. They said, hey, the way we look at these prenups, it's gotta change,
Yeah.
especially because of the kind of relationship we're dealing with here.
So why did they think this new approach, this shifting the burden of proof, was so important?
Well, they were really focused on the idea that when two people are engaged, there's already like a built-in sense of trust,
Right.
almost like a fiduciary duty, you know?
Right.
And that's different from a typical contract between like two strangers.
You're supposed to be able to rely on each other,
Right.
have each other's back.
And that can make one person more vulnerable,
Makes sense?
especially in this kind of
Yeah,
situation.
so it's not just about the words on the paper, it's about what was happening between the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the court, they basically said, listen, we can't just blindly apply contract rules here. We have to look at the facts of the relationship, the actual dynamics.
And I think there's a specific quote from the decision that really highlights this, right?
Yeah. They said, where parties find themselves in a relationship of trust, a special burden may shift to disprove fraud.
Wow. Powerful stuff.
Yeah, because it recognizes that in close relationships, there's a much higher chance that someone could take advantage of the other person.
And wasn't there something in the decision about how the law, like, assumes things are equal, but in reality, they often aren't?
Yeah, they hit on that, too. They said something like, the law starts marital partners off on an equal plane, but a particularized inequality can change things.
Right.
That's so important because it acknowledges that just because the law says everyone's equal doesn't mean they actually are in real life, right?
Yeah.
Especially in a situation like this. So if there's evidence that one person had way more power, the court's got to look at things much more closely.
So how do you figure out if there's this particularized inequality? What are the signs?
The court laid out a two-part test. First, you got to look at the nature of the relationship itself. Back when those prenups were signed, what was the situation between Helen and Herman? Was there a lot of trust there? Reliance?
Okay, so that's step one. And what's the second part?
Second, you look for specific things that might show one person had an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Like, were there any red flags?
Right. And what kind of red flags were there in Helen and Herman's case?
Well, for starters, there was a pretty big age difference, 17 years.
Okay, yeah, that's significant.
Could definitely suggest an imbalance right there. And then the timing. They signed those prenups and got married super fast, only 3 months.
So did Helen even have enough time to really understand what she was signing?
Exactly.
Or to get advice from someone?
Right, that's another big one. Did Helen have her own lawyer? Because if she didn't, that's a problem. It means she might not have had someone looking out for her interests, someone to explain the consequences.
So you're not just looking at signatures on a page, you're looking at the whole picture.
The whole picture, yeah. The relationship, the timing, everything.
This grief case, it really changed the game for prenuptial agreements in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do lawyers need to do differently now?
Well, it puts a lot more responsibility on lawyers, both when they're writing up prenups and when they're fighting about them in court. They can't just focus on the legal stuff. They have to really understand the couple's relationship. Document everything. Like, was there any pressure? Was there coercion? Was it a truly fair agreement? These things matter now.
So if you're a lawyer drafting one of these agreements, what are the most important things to do?
First off, make sure everything is documented, every step of the way, the negotiations, the discussions, everything. And you've got to make sure both sides have a chance to really think about what they're agreeing to. No rushing.
Okay.
Second, independent legal counsel. Huge. Each person needs their own lawyer, someone who can give them objective advice, and then full financial disclosure.
Right. No hiding assets.
Exactly. Both sides got to lay it all out on the table. And finally, lawyers need to watch out for any hints of pressure or manipulation, especially if one person's a lot older or maybe they're financially dependent on the other.
So it's not just about what's written in the contract. It's about how that contract came to be.
Exactly. The process matters just as much as the final product.
And for estate planners, what's the takeaway from this case?
Honesty and fairness are key. If you're an estate planner, you've got to tell your clients to get separate lawyers and make sure the agreement is something they both truly want and understand. It can't just be a box to check off.
So New York courts are saying, we're not just going to blindly enforce these agreements. We're going to look at the relationship behind them.
Exactly. They want to make sure it was a fair deal made by people who are on equal footing.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
There was one thing that really struck me about this case, and that was the short time between the marriage and Herman's death.
Right.
Only 3 months. You mentioned it earlier, how that could suggest things were rushed.
Yeah.
But is there something more to it, legally speaking?
Yeah, it goes beyond just a quick decision. When one spouse dies so soon after the wedding, especially when they've given up their inheritance rights, it makes you wonder what the agreement was really all about.
Like, was it actually fair?
Right. Prenups usually assume the marriage will last for a while, you know?
Right.
Both people benefiting from the arrangement. But when someone dies so quickly and one person gets basically nothing out of it, well, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Especially in this case where it ended up benefiting Herman's children so much more than Helen, it makes you think maybe things weren't so equal between them after all.
So the timing itself can be a clue that something wasn't right.
Exactly.
And there's another thing I wanted to ask about.
Yeah.
Those prenups, they were reciprocal, right?
Yeah.
Both Helen and Herman gave up rights. Does that mean the agreement was automatically fair?
It doesn't guarantee anything, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, even with reciprocal agreements, there's always a chance that one person was calling the shots. Maybe one of them was really set on getting married, and the other person felt pressured to sign anything just to make it happen.
Yeah.
The court still has to dig deeper. They have to figure out if both people were truly acting freely, if they understood what they were signing, and if there was any pressure involved.
So just because it looks equal on paper doesn't mean it was equal in reality. This case, it really shows how the law needs to catch up with real life, especially when we're talking about agreements that are so personal, so tied to people's lives.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway from In Arithi's State of Grief. The law can't treat these prenups like they're just business deals.
Yeah.
It has to consider the human element.
The relationships, the power dynamics, everything.
Right. At the end of the day, it's about protecting people, making sure no one's taken advantage of.
So for all the future lawyers out there, remember, In Arithi's State of Grief, remember that prenups in New York aren't always ironclad.
Yeah, a lot depends on the relationship itself.
The trust, the reliance, any inequalities between the people involved.
And remember, this case might have implications beyond prenups. It makes you think about how courts might handle other contracts where there's a lot of trust involved.
Yeah, like doctor-patient or lawyer-client.
Right. It's definitely something to think about as you continue your legal journey.
It's all about fairness.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into In Arithi's State of Grief.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive when we tackle another fascinating case.
See ya.
Bye.